Hi, everyone. My name is Kelly Swales, and I'm a web editor for Lab Medicine and a contributor to Critical Values. Joining me today is Janet Koster, the Executive Director and CEO of the Association for Women in Science.
Well, thanks for inviting me to participate in this podcast today, Kelly. I appreciate that. We at AWIS are the largest multidisciplinary organization representing women across science, technology, engineering, and math, and have been advocating and supporting women in the STEM fields for the last 40 years.
Janet, let's start off our discussion today by answering this question. Why is it important for women to have a presence in science and STEM careers?
So we continue to believe that it is important for women to have a presence because, as we know from studies and anecdotes, when you have a diverse team, your output, the product, is more creative, is more interesting, solutions become more available. So the diversity of scientific teams, the diversity of corporate teams, really lend to the bottom line, both in creativity and finance.
What are some of the biggest issues facing women in the science professions today, and how can women sort of push past these issues?
Well, we think that there are a number of issues that impact women directly, not the least of which is pay equity. If we look what's going on in the news right now with the editor of the New York Times, who was recently ousted because she did ask for a pay raise, we know that those issues still impact women disproportionately. And that's certainly the case within the STEM fields as well. We know that women do right out of college, right out of their PhD programs into the first job, earn less than their male colleagues. So it's a dual set of issues. One on the individual, women tend not to negotiate as directly and as strongly as men. On the other hand, if they do negotiate as strongly as men, they are often thought of as pushy, brusque, and do not always get the opportunities that their male colleague would in terms of the pay structure, in terms of their working environment, etc. So we know that that's an issue. We also know that there is a great issue in scientists' ability to integrate work and life. And while this for the longest time was thought of as a women's issue, it actually is impacting men and women around the world. And we know this because we recently did an international survey of researchers from 115 countries around the world, and we asked them about 8 questions on work-life integration issues. And what we found from the results of that survey, there were 4,225 respondents. What we found was that work-life integration issues that impact childcare, elder care, the ability for flex time, all of those issues impact men as well as women. So we were quite surprised. We thought it would break down, that the answers would break down by gender. They actually broke down by age demographics.
Does the glass ceiling still exist for women in science?
Well, I think the glass ceiling, clearly, again, referring back to Jill Abramson, exists for women across the board. But certainly in the sciences, it's a tougher work environment. So people who work in the STEM fields have different expectations. Academicians need to publish. They need to apply for grants. So the pressures are much different. Tenure track, when you're on the tenure track, that often coincides for women at the same time that they're thinking about starting a family. So that there are those pressures as well. So I think a lot of institutions and workplaces have made headway in terms of flex time, in terms of child care provisions or elder care provisions, in terms of family leave. We still have a long way to go, but we do know what the best practices are. And again, many, many workplaces have implemented those best practices. On the other hand, if we look at the National Academy of Sciences, which each year elects members to the academy. This year, this new class, the number of women went down drastically again. So women are not being recognized or selected for important awards recognition in proportion to their representation in the STEM fields. And I could be more nuanced than that, Kelly, because in the biological sciences, women are represented in equal proportion to their male colleagues, whereas in engineering and computer sciences, the number of women who are working in those fields has actually dropped. So again, it's kind of hard to speak with a broad brush about women in STEM, because it does differ by discipline. But in general, there are the three things that we do know. We do know that women do not earn the same as their male colleagues. We do know that they do have a hard time with work-life integration. And we do know that moving up the ladder, so to speak, the professional corporate ladder, is very difficult for women as well. We just did it's not published yet, but we just completed an analysis of women in IPOs. Last year, biotechnology saw quite a number of new companies come onto the market. And out of, I think, about 33 companies, there was only one female CEO. So there are clearly still issues that women face. What specific, again, what those are, if those are individual, or if they're systemic. At AWIS, we work a lot on system transformation, and we know that, for example, implicit bias really impacts a lot of decisions when it comes to hiring a female candidate or a male candidate. Number of studies, again, on blind resume review and blind peer review, so that if you cover the names, that the chances that both the female and the male candidate will come out equal are very much raised versus whether you have John or Jane on a resume. So lots of examples of that. And that implicit bias impacts all of us. It's this consciousness of how am I making a call on the work of one scientist versus another? What are my perceptions?
Do you think that this next generation of women in science, do you think that they're different than other generations? And what can women who are already in science or STEM careers do to influence or recruit young women into STEM careers?
Well, I do think that the next generation of women in STEM, we already see the impact of changes in the workforce. What we're seeing is that a lot of women, particularly in science, are moving off the bench and are starting their own companies. They're moving into science writing. They're moving into patent law. They're taking that science knowledge built over the years, and they're walking from the workplace. They're moving into very different types of non-traditional jobs. So I think that's one area we'll continue to see kind of a transition in, is if the workplace doesn't change, we'll see folks leaving the workplace and looking for better opportunities, opportunities where they can, in fact, have a life. And I think we're not only going to see that with women, I think that in future generations, we'll see that with men as well. As I said, I go back to the survey that we recently did. Really, across the age demographics, folks under 40, there really wasn't a big difference for women or men. If they can't find workplaces that can accommodate their personal needs, along with, of course, work, then they're going to be leaving the workforce. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. And as far as women already in science and in STEM careers, certainly they serve as role models. But they need to be conscious as well, and if you see an inequity, speak up, support the next generation, reach back, give them a hand up. Think about mentoring, sponsorship. That's a whole new area that women in STEM typically have not looked at in the past. Someone that's moved up into a higher position and can help move you along. So take advantage of those opportunities. I think again, women, for example, in the National Academy of Sciences, the folks that have been elected, they need to make sure that they're canvassing and pulling in as many women nominees as possible so we can increase the pool there. I think that there is a lot that still needs to be done and a lot that can be done. There are changes in certain workplaces, but there are environments where we're still talking about kind of, you know, reflecting that Mad Men era. So I do think that, you know, the younger generations will force some changes in that area, and we might be seeing some interesting program initiatives happening in the workplace in the coming years.
Thank you so much, Janet, for taking the time today to chat with our listeners about women in science and STEM careers in general.
Well, thanks again for having me, Kelly. I appreciate it.